All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you here from New York City on the 20th day of February, 2018. I always like to remind you that I'm the editor of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, which you can subscribe to at miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com, on call our office in New York during normal work hours at 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426. Also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter, chenpicks.com. Chen has done exceptionally well over the years, taking $5,400 in his in an IRA account and without any new money going into it, causing that account to rise to $2.5 million over a 10-year period. So it's his track record is remarkable, not only there, but in other accounts that he's managed. So, Chen Lin, it's chenpicks.com. I want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, encourage you to send your questions, criticisms, praises, comments, what have you, to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show, RN Resources, Dynacore Gold Mines, Genesis Metals Corp, New Range Gold Corp, Northern Empire Resources, Novo Resources, and Uranium Energy. I've titled today's show, Return of the Bond Vigilantes. What does it mean for the markets? Our main guest this week was supposed to be David Stockman, but because of an emergency that arose for him late today, I will be interviewing him on Friday and hope to have that interview posted at Jay Taylor Media on Saturday. So we'll talk to David about the bond vigilantes on Friday, and we'll send you out an email to let you know when it is posted at Jay Taylor Media. If you're not on our email list, send a request to be put on the list. Go to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. Fortunately, I was able to have John Rubino join me today in the second half of today's show. He'll be discussing the bond vigilantes and his views of the stock, bond, and commodity markets as well. Here is the issue that the Treasury is faced with. The U.S. is running huge deficits. Got to finance them somehow. It's lowered the interest rates below the market levels, and who wants to buy treasuries? Well, they're finding there's a mismatch between the demand and the supply because the markets are not allowed to, or the markets have not been allowed to price capital, and so the rates have to rise. It seems that that's the case. When David Stockman was the budget advisor to President Reagan back in the early 1980s, the U.S. deficit was about $1 trillion, a little less than that. Now it's exploding to over $20 trillion and rising even more rapidly under Donald Trump, the way it looks anyway. And at this point in time, not even the Tea Party Republicans are too concerned about holding the deficit down. Everyone seems to be spending money like drunken sailors in Washington. But who is going to buy the U.S. debt? That's the big key. And today alone, I read there's $179 billion of treasuries has to be funded. By the end of this week, $258 billion. The Fed has backed away from quantitative easing, and countries like China, Japan, and others that had been enabling us to live beyond our means for so many years are backing away, seemingly, at least especially Japan in the last few months has backed away from the U.S. Treasury market. So obviously the rate of interest will have to rise to find an equilibrium point if the U.S. is going to raise the capital that it needs to expand its empire and to finance socialism here. And, after all, we're in 160 different countries around the world expanding the empire. It costs money. Ultimately, empires in the past have fallen when they've gone beyond what they were able to do. We'll see what happens. The bottom line is that something here is going to have to give. Will the new chairman of the Fed, Jay Powell, give in and start printing money like Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen have before him? Or will he actually pull a Paul Volcker and put his foot on the brakes and not allow new money to be created, allow interest rates to find new equilibrium? That's not fathomable to me and to others that I've spoken to. How can interest rates rise so dramatically when there is so much debt, and just a little bit of increase in debt increases the amount of treasuries that have to be borrowed simply to pay the debt, the interest on the debt? So it's going to be interesting to watch, that's for sure. And, of course, really pleased to have Eric Coffin's going to be joining me after the first commercial break today to give his views on the markets, but also some of his top picks, the things that he's looking at. He is really an exploration expert, and so we'll be talking to Eric Coffin. But right now, I'm really pleased to have Michael Oliver with me to give not his opinions, his gut feel, but basically the results of his labor, his work, that objectively look at markets. And I think that's one of the big advantages that Michael brings. Not only is it objective, but it's been so darn accurate. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Always good to have you here. You know, the U.S. Treasury, as I just mentioned, is borrowing huge amounts of money, and so the rates are rising. You put out a very interesting article today, again, talking about the Judas Goat. Talk to us about Judas Goat and what that's all about, and how are you seeing the bond markets now?
Well, the back in 1987, I recall, this is 5 years before I founded Momentum Structural Analysis. Mm-hmm. I caught the crash, and it was based on my analysis of quarterly momentum of the S&P at the time. But during that time, something very interesting was going on that I always remembered. And that was that the bond market was going down, yields were going up. Uh-huh. And it was doing it in a persistent and fairly steep way. And the stock market was ignoring it, and was ignoring it, and mm-hmm. was ignoring it. Until finally the bonds just put their foot to the pedal on the downside, and then the S&P just crashed. And yeah. bonds rallied, I think, at 10 or 20 points in a few days. yields dropped back down. But the bonds were just determined to take the stocks to slaughter. And I use the phrase Judas goat, which is a goat that has a purpose to lead the other goats this way or that way, in this case to the downside. Now, if you'll recall, the S&P dropped over 200 points on February 5th and the 6th, early this month. And that 200-point drop, the bonds turned and rallied 4 points. Mm-hmm. But then when the stocks turned back up, the bonds said, oh, okay, not enough, huh? And so bonds went back down and made new lows. Now, they're mm-hmm. not making new lows at a sharp or precipitous rate, but they're persistent in the downside. And they keep looking over their shoulder at stocks, and as long as stocks stay steady, I think the bonds are going to stay on the floor. And if need be, I think the bonds, the Judas Goat, will have another leg of decline here. I think ultimately we're going into the 120s on T-bond futures, which are now in the low 140s. That's about a 4.25% yield, by the way, if we get there. But every time the stocks look like, oh, man, we're going to hang in here, the bonds say, okay, I'm back on the floor again. And I think that it's behaving like a Judas goat, and I think it's bound and determined to get to whatever level it takes to bring the stock market back down again, and this time to get it down, from a lower high than the prior high. And so I think there's sort of a duel going on there. So we're watching bonds very closely here to see if there's not another 3 to 5 point drop that can precipitate another S&P sell-off. If it does that, I think the bonds will get a nice little short-term rally, probably very sharp, as a relief rally, a counter-trend mm-hmm. rally.
Sure.
It won't change the direction of rates. It'll just give some relief. But that's what I think is going on with bonds right now, is they're watching stocks, and that's what they're keying off of, with the determination to bring stocks down.
Right. What about gold and treasury rates and interest rates? So, there was a period of time, I'm old enough to remember it very vividly, in the 1970s and 1980s, all the way up until, most of the time since 1971 until about 2006 or so, higher interest rates correlated with higher gold prices. That hasn't seemed to be the case now. So when we get higher rates, people are expecting gold to go down. Today it was down, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks or so on higher rates with this big treasury demand. What are your thoughts on gold relative to interest rates?
Well, if you look at bonds, though, from a broader point of view, if you go back to mid-2016, when T-bond futures were at 176, okay, we're now at 143. Gold was at 1050. It's now at 1320s, 1330.
Yeah, that's right.
So in the bigger perspective, it's they are moving opposite. As bonds go down and yields go up, gold is rising.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, in the real short term, yes, I agree. There's some days in here where it looks like bonds and gold are behaving the same. And I think to some extent that the gold market is looking for the next shaking of investor confidence in stocks, because I think it'll get the benefit of that. Because gold is, after all, yes, we're down $20 today, but we're down $20 or so, which is a couple percent off the high of the last 2 to 3 years, which was the highest trade of the last 2 to 3 years was 1370 something. So we got up at the 1360 a week ago, and right now we're 1320. So we're several percent off the highs of the last several years. So it's not that bad. We're not at 1180. Okay,
so, right.
It's a bit confusing because the short term sometimes can make you think there's a correlation one way. In fact, when you stand back and look at a year, year and a half's worth of action, you see that, in fact, it's the other way. As rates go up, gold has been going up.
Very good point, Michael. With just a couple of minutes left, we had one listener asking about natural gas. I know you're generally bullish on the commodities in spite of rising rates, but what are your thoughts on natural gas, if you have some?
Of the energy sector, if I had to pick one that had the greatest potential for percent gain from current levels, now remember, oil's had a big move over the last year and a half. Just above $3, and I won't get real specific about the number we do in our reports.
Sure.
You can close out a month at a certain level above $3. I think you could shoot natural gas up to $4.50. Now, 450 historically is not all that high either for natural gas, but that's a 50% move. So, yes, we're watching natural gas. Our prime focus right now is on the grains. We think the grains are in unison, ready to explode. But natural gas in the energy sector looks like the potential for the biggest percentage gain over a short period of time, assuming it can cross the hurdle. And we've defined the hurdle, and we're watching it closely.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just make a note here that on this day when most asset prices are getting clobbered, the grains, many of them quite strong, and I see the meats are very strong in the futures markets today as well.
The meats is another area that we think is ready. The food commodities are going to lead this year in the commodity sector, with the possible exception of gold. But oil's had a big move for the last year and a half, so is copper. We tend to think, well, they'll continue firm. They're not going to be the leaders anymore.
The
leadership will shift to food commodities.
All right, very interesting. Well, thanks again, Michael, for being with us, and always a pleasure talking to you and getting your insights into these markets. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away because Eric Coffin will be with me. He's one of the best there is at picking early-stage exploration stocks. If you want to make a lot of money percentage-wise in the junior mining sector, if you can latch on to the right early exploration stocks, that's where you make it. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Eric Coffin.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
New Range Gold Corps is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG.
Orin Resources is a Canadian-based gold exploration company focused on the company's flagship Committee Bay project, located in northern Canada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. The company's current resource, outlined by drilling thus far, stands at 1.1 million ounces of gold at over 8 grams per ton. Orin is operated by the same team that founded Asanko Gold, which is constructing a major gold mine in West Africa, and Caden Resources, which was recently purchased in November for over $200 million.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.